Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are coming to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Send the tweet, send them hot, at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. I got to understand something tonight because I heard the stations all throughout the weekend. I heard last night, my buddy Zach Gelb was on last night. And there were so many people who kept saying, well, Le'Veon did what was right for him and he did what was right for his family. And so many, one after another, just lined up and made a bunch of excuses for Le'Veon Bell. He did what was right. He did what was for his family. He did what was best for his personal business. Le'Veon's the one who ended up winning in this. And I'm thinking, how in the hell have we come to the point where we want to sit here and make a bunch of excuses for other people of that nature? Let me ask you something. I know you and I live in a different tax bracket. I got it. You and I live with different circumstances than what Le'Veon Bell lives with. You and I both know you got to make ends meet. You got car notes you got to pay off. You got money you got to make. So a lot of us, myself talking to you, most of you listening, we're not in a position where we can turn down dollars. Still, what's the principle of it? He did what was right. He did what was right by himself. He did what was right by his family. On what planet? On a sport where it can end in any second. Well, see, Ken, that's the point. No, 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 no. Hold on for a second there, buddy. At a sport where it can end in any second, which means that every single player has told you, guys who have sat across the table and held the pen and put ink to paper and signed their dreams and signed in terms of sometimes their life away, have told you, in the shortest careers in professional sports, in the toughest game in professional sports, professional team sports anyway, that it's about making as much money as you can while you can make it. Every single cent counts. And I'm getting the galaxy brain, and I'm getting the mental gymnastics saying that Le'Veon Bell did what was right for business, leaving $14.5 million guaranteed on the table. How does he win there? Well, what's the goal? After taxes, it's 7.5. Say it's 7.5, roughly 50%. You know, we got to get it all figured out with the state of Pennsylvania and everything. You understand that. But say it's after that, it's $8 million. But we'll go with the 14.5 right there. When are you going to, and I have to look and see where his endorsements are, when are you going to make up that extra $14.5 million? I got to know. Well, Ken, it's on the guaranteed money. If you play, you are able to make sure that you have the guaranteed money. The only thing you did was something foolish, and the only thing you have left is your pride and embarrassment. That's the only things that he has left. He has plenty of money still. He's made a nice salary, certainly not what he was looking for, but he certainly made a nice salary. And to leave $14.5 million on the table, what does Le'Veon Bell have left? The only thing that's been proven is what? He is replaceable in a lot of ways on a good football team. Not totally replaceable, but certainly James Conner can fill the void. He's proven that he's willing to sit out. He's proven to his teammates that he's willing to take things publicly and to tell the public, even though that maybe they don't see it that way because they'll always say they appreciate the business of it. But he's told, by and large, every single fan out there and his own teammates that in this turn, he's rooting for them to lose because he needs Pittsburgh to look worse without him. These are the things that he's proven. And so the only thing you have left is, and you do have some money left, and you do have an offseason to come around, and you have some time to get yourself ready for next year and to see who might pick you up. But in today's league, and the rookie wage scale throws everybody off, and I'll explain here in a second, but in today's league, where are teams lining up to give great big deals to running backs in free agency without drafting them? Yeah, I know. Todd Gurley. Uh-huh. They drafted him. Where are they lining up to do that? I mean, real big, long, guaranteed deals. Maybe a couple in the history over the last 10 years. So Le'Veon Bell's going to change that on, right? And for the Steelers, I could look at him and say, you're cheap, you're petty, you didn't want to pay the Piper for the best all-around back in the league, and that's exactly what he was coming into this year. I make no mistake about it, and I'm not trying to be revisionist about it whatsoever. I could try to say that, except you paid three guys across the offensive line, you have a quarterback, you have a wide receiver, you paid a couple of guys defensively. There's going to be a time where a lot of football teams, especially ones that compete to the Steelers' level, are going to look around and say, hey, I got nothing left. We're probably going to have to trim the fat and even trim the all-pro running back somewhere in here. So what did Le'Veon prove? He proved that he's willing to wait. Proved that he's obviously comfortable enough with letting that money go away. He proved that he's comfortable enough to openly campaign against his own football team, his own coworkers in that sense. He proved that he cannot go back to the Pittsburgh Steelers if he does not return over this next week, because the only thing that's left is embarrassment. Because over the last 10 weeks, 11 weeks, including camp, you're looking at 3-4 months now, they have been asked nonstop about Le'Veon Bell. Meanwhile, James Conner, even though he's got a crazy haircut, has been doing nothing but fill the bill for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And they're back where they're supposed to be, in first place in the AFC North, right there in the thicket of it for the AFC Championship again, and back with the expectations that they were supposed to have. At the beginning of the season, it was fire Tomlin, Roethlisberger was old, the offensive line sucks, the secondary sucks. Now they're right back where they needed to be. That's their environment. They're used to it. They've been through this before. So you've proven nothing. And this might have worked in a lot of other places. It doesn't work in a place like that, because that, again, is their environment. They're used to having drama in Pittsburgh with that football team, with that coaching staff, with everybody there. With Todd Haley before, with Antonio Brown before, with Ben Roethlisberger, obviously. Mike Tomlin, you always have some handful of things that come with you there. So you look to see a guy in James Conner who makes you indispensable, and now you're going to go out to, at some point you hope, a free agent market if everything's able to work out, and you're supposed to get more guaranteed money. But the problem is that you'll play for a team, or you'll try to play for a team, or you'll hope to maybe play for a team. Maybe money's the end-all be-all. Obviously, it seems to be this way. So I'm more than likely wrong about the sentence I'm about to say. But most teams that are really, really good still don't have a whole lot of cap space because they have a really, really good quarterback, and they have a lot of things that are more important, like good secondaries, like good offensive linemen, especially at the left tackle position still. So if you're expecting this great big amount of money, maybe I'll be wrong. I don't know if you're going to get it from a really good football team. But you've proven that the money is the most important thing. We'll see if you can back it up. But I just don't understand this notion. From all of us who are knocking down $30,000 and $40,000 and hopefully $50,000 a year, in middle America, trying to eke out a living, trying to put food on the table, trying to put cars in the driveway, trying to send the kids to school. I don't understand how we can look at somebody and say that he did what was best for himself and the family, leaving money on the table in a game that it isn't guaranteed. You're going to be more than willing to give money to a guy like that? Guaranteed money to a guy like that? You as a fan, you'd be willing to do so? You as a general manager, are you willing to give over $14.5 million or $17 million from what it would seem that he would be asking, guaranteed the year to be guaranteed for him and his contract? Would you be really willing to do that, or would you look and go, yeah, you know, I still need a quarterback. Yeah, you know, I still have an offensive line that I have to pay that's more important. Yeah, I still got cornerbacks that I still have to pay that are more important. Maybe wide receivers or tight ends are mixed in there. Maybe I can find something else and I can use that money more diligently. Which one would you do? It's an honestly perfect question. I'm sure that some people, and from what I could hear last night, there were plenty of people who were willing to speak up on his side for a guy who, you know, leaves money on the table, but for somehow did what was right for the family. You can argue personal pride, then there's the issue of $14.5 million being there. You can argue about your own personal constitution, your own personal rights, and then there's the personal of $14.5 million over there. Let's not act like the Pittsburgh Steelers were C. Montgomery Burns in this entire situation. 14.5 on the franchise tags, a hell of a lot of money, and now you enter a free agency class going into next year that you might get some money, and you might get something guaranteed. But this has become bitter. It's become personal. It's become ugly with this football team and with Le'Veon Bell, and it has went way past money. And when he let it become personal, it showed passion, and he ended up losing because the Pittsburgh Steelers are moving on, right back at the top of the AFC North again, right back where they're supposed to be. They might still lose. I still don't have them coming out of the AFC. The Patriots are still who I have coming out of the AFC. And yeah, I know Kansas City's right there, and the Chargers will have something to say about it as well. I got all that. They still might not come out of it, but they never got there anyway with Le'Veon Bell. And if they get James Conner out of it, they're doing exactly what every NFL team wants to do. Because now with the rookie wage scale, what's going to be more likely for an NFL football team? Pay a 3-year and a 4-year vet, on average, $3 to $5 million a season, even when it's not guaranteed, or we'll take a guy in the third round, we'll plug him in, we'll coach him up, and we'll pay him $800,000. Which one would you be more likely to do? Which one is your favorite NFL football team more likely to do? Because there's less and less 26 jerseys over at Heinz Field and more number 30s. They'll move on without you. You ain't Big Ben. You ain't Antonio Brown. You ain't any one of those guys. You're a good piece, a nice piece, but you ain't worth that. Not all that hassle. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I just cannot believe that we sit here and we want to make excuses for somebody leaving $14.5 million on the table. You wouldn't leave $20 on the table. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, national college football writer, coming up in just over 20 minutes. Howard Balzer, next hour, 11:35, 11:40 from the Sports Exchange. Michael Lee, The Athletic. Jimmy Butler, is he enough for the 76ers to compete with the Golden State Warriors? More than likely not, but I love that they're taking a shot with him. Also, a little bit later on, just like in life, you're a product of your environment. It's 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I got to get right to the phones here because, of course, we got Dennis Dodd coming up in less than 15 minutes. So I want to get to Adam in Lansing, Michigan on Le'Veon Bell. I still say he should have played. A lot of people want to line up and make excuses for him. Adam in Lansing, you're first up on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, what's going on, Ken? I catch your show as much as I can. I love your show, man.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Go ahead.
First, on this Veterans Day, I want to give a shout-out to all my fellow active and inactive Marines out there. Semper Fi, brothers. If you're listening overseas, stay safe, come home safe, do your job, serve us proud. As far as Le'Veon Bell, I agree with you. You know, I think he made a big mistake. You know, he's got $14.5 million guaranteed. You play and you work your contract out while you're playing. And it backfired on him because apparently Pittsburgh got another great running back. And yeah, he had a slow start, but he started kicking up. He's doing great. And Pittsburgh's pretty much going to say, guess what? We got your replacement. You don't want a deal. You didn't want to play. Go buy.
Yeah, at the beginning of the year, I'm sure Pittsburgh would, again, $14.5 million on a franchise tag, that's nothing to sniff at, and I'm sure Pittsburgh would have liked to have him there. But they've proven that they can win. They've proven that, obviously, they can win by a great deal, even without him there. And now you're looking at a guy who's become a bit of an also-ran for them and a guy that they're really tired of answering questions with. Now that they've gotten the ship righted, and I do think, Adam, I swear to God, I think that this would have worked with a lot of other football teams. I think that Pittsburgh, they're used to this drama, especially early season drama. And
exactly.
I just think, like, right now, the embarrassment of it, of coming back after you've made this public. You've told people by not showing up, you want Pittsburgh to lose because you're not there.
And
so
you're
the one who has to answer
family.
To that. Uh-huh.
And you turned your back on family, and you don't do that. Now, I am going to laugh very hard when when he becomes a free agent and other teams are going to go, you know what, here's $10 million. We'll start with this because we've seen what you did in Pittsburgh and we don't want you to do it with us, but you are a great running back. We'll start with $10 million and you can work your way up from there. And if I was his wife, I would have told him, look, you got two options. You can either get your butt out on that field and make that $14 million, or you can find a new wife.
I think in a lot of ways in the NFL, and Adam, thank you very much for the call. You make money by playing. These guys show you make money by playing. You are wanted by other teams because of what you put out there on the field. That's how you get your cash. That's how you get the guaranteed money. You show that you're worth it, it's there. You get a year off, you'll have guys in there making those decisions. You have 60-year-old men, old-style football guys, who we're going to sit there and think, oh, yeah, okay, year off. There's plenty of time off those wheels. Not everybody's Adrian Peterson. You have plenty of those guys like that? Not really. So you want to go out there and say, hey, I'll leave $14.5 million on the table. Hey, that's your thing, brother. You go right on ahead and do so. But if we're saying, well, he did what was best for him and best for his family, leaving $14.5 million on the table is not what's best for business. That's somebody who just made a comparison. Ken, you can't compare the regular person with what Le'Veon Bell has. He's 1%. You got to compare him to a corporate CEO. Do you know of any corporate CEOs who would leave $14.5 million sitting on a table? Cam in Canada, you're next up on CBS Sports Radio.
Ken, how's it going?
Wonderful, Cam. Go ahead, my friend.
Right on. I don't see Philly coming out much ahead. I'm a Raptors fan, so I'm watching it acutely. I don't think people have any idea how good Covington is. Mm. So Butler comes in. I mean, they lose a lot of length. Butler comes in. I think Embiid is still tough to work with on that team. I don't think Philadelphia is coming out ahead. The other thing I want to say is Sexton. I'm disgusted with the fans in Cleveland and those guys in Cleveland.
Whoa, why? Why? Tell me why. What's wrong?
They were ripping on that. They were ripping on that poor kid. Like, I hate the Cavaliers. I mean, I'm a Raptors.
Well, I know
fan.
You do. Yeah, I know
but,
you
but
do.
But I'll tell you right now, I want you guys to get back on track. You do not deserve what's gone on there this offseason. But I'm telling you right now, Colin Sexton is the real deal. If you get Colin Sexton and you guys get R.J. Barrett, don't even get into the fool's gold of Zion Williamson. R.J. Barrett, and if you get that third star in free agency, you guys are a top four team within 2 years. Mark my word.
Well, and Cam, you can go ahead and say this. Let me do this, and I'll let you back in. I still think what Cleveland's going through, I think it's natural. When you have a guy like LeBron come back and then LeBron goes, you still need to settle into what that team was going to be. Remember, Cam, we have people calling us up during the weeks. This is going to be a 45-win basketball team, you guys. I'm thinking, man, maybe 30-something. And I was way off on that. This looks like a 20-win basketball team that will have a shot at Zion Williamson or R.J. Barrett from Duke.
Yeah. You,
there's an adjustment period there.
If you get R.J. Barrett, and I don't want him to go there because, I mean, I love the kid. I used to watch his dad play, believe it or not, Rowan Barrett, who went to St. John's. But this R.J. Barrett, if you get him in Sexton, man, you're going to drive that back end. You'll be like the 2015 Wizards with Wall and Pierce. You'll automatically make the playoffs just with those two guys.
Man, if they get – it's just such a strong – it's got to happen over the next 3 years because Williamson can be a guy who throws down. He's already got a lot of the baby fat that's off him, Cam. And there's a lot of raw ability right there. I just also think on the other side of it is that are you going to want a guy who's more of a and I know he's able to hit a couple of shots here and there. Are you still going to want a guy who's more of a perimeter shooter because that's the way the NBA is going? Like, I think Zion will have to develop an NBA shot from the perimeter where it seems that R.J. Barrett's already there.
R.J.'s your guy. I don't want you to get him. Listen, it's the worst news in the world for us to get him, but he's your guy. This kid is so good. It's unbelievable, Ken. I promise you.
Cam, I thank you very much for the call, my friend. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Cleveland just has to go through this naturally. You had LeBron. LeBron's gone. There's a blow-off valve there. And a lot of people look at the NBA draft. If you're not in Boston, I think, is a pretty good NBA city. Some people in Boston probably disagree with me that. I think Boston's a pretty good NBA city. I think a lot of places, Sacramento's, they got good, smart fans in Sacramento. Just the basketball's been trash. but they've had to pay attention to a lot of the draft for 20 years. A lot of people look at the draft, the NBA draft, the way they look at the NFL draft. So they see 8 overall, and they freak out and think that that's going to be fantastic. That can be a huge drop. And you get 19-year-olds playing with grown men in there whose bodies haven't even 19-year-old's body hasn't even developed. His game hasn't even developed the fully way. The mind is not as sharp as what it's supposed to be. I can't expect that a month into the season with some of these guys. There's guys who can do it. There's guys who are prototypical, incredible basketball players who looks like you just created them out of granite, and they're that good when they first come out. They're guys like LeBron James. You don't have a lot of those guys. And so for a lot of these teams, I'm paying more attention towards Philly and what they're trying to put together with Jimmy Butler. If he can pull his head out of his ass, I think they're in a terrific spot. I'm paying attention towards Boston and looking for more from Kyrie Irving. I'm looking for more from Jason Tatum. Certainly with Gordon Hayward and him getting the booze the other night. I'm looking more out of, obviously, Toronto, because you're on to a good start. How much further is that going to go? Because, it's only a month into the season. But you got a lot of things there that you're trying to work together. And what I like so much about what Philly did is, yeah, it's a gamble. I didn't think he gave up a whole ton. Some people will disagree. I didn't think he gave up a whole ton for Jimmy Butler. But at least you're taking a run at a team like Golden State, where a lot of other teams are just kind of waiting. And a lot of other fan bases are waiting. It's like, we'll wait for Golden State to either implode or we'll just ride this out for the next 5, 6, 7, whatever years. So at least you're making a run. You know you have a job to do. You know that the window's only going to be open for so long, especially with some of the injuries that you have had over the last couple of seasons. Good, young, exciting basketball team can only get better. Why not take a stab at it as soon as you possibly can? Make your place one of those places where guys want to go, be veterans on that basketball team, and play with young, exciting talent. Be like Golden State. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports Network, he joins us coming up next. College football playoff. Are the four who are at the top, are they staying where they're at?
This is the Ken Carmen Show on CBS Sports Radio.
Back on CBS Sports Radio, Ken Carmen till 2 a.m. Eastern, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. So, we have our rankings, at least until Tuesday, for the college football playoff. Alabama will still be at the top. Clemson will still be number 2. Notre Dame will still be number 3. Michigan, well, they'll still be number 4. But for how long? To talk about all that, and obviously some hot seats going on and Heisman stuff, we welcome in Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports National College Football Writer. Follow him on Twitter, at Dennis Dodd CBS. Dennis, good evening, friend.
Ken, how are you? Thanks for having me on.
I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing even better to have you. Now, you got these four teams, and I always have to remind myself, it's tough, Dennis. I go, it's who's the best. It's not who deserves it. it's difficult because, boy, you see these teams, and you got some great, great opportunities, and it's just, I don't know how well this is going to work out. So Alabama would probably be safe no matter what, I would guess, unless they were to drop two games.
Right.
How's the rest of it work out, though? As you see it right now, with still a couple of weeks left in the regular season and the conference championships too.
Yeah, I kind of wrote about that for tomorrow. This thing has the looks of it just staying with chalk. I know that there's some roadblocks ahead. Alabama has to beat Georgia. Well, Alabama actually doesn't have to beat Georgia if they get there unbeaten. I think they can afford a loss considering what they've done. Notre Dame and Clemson are unbeaten. I know that neither one of those can afford a loss. And Michigan, I think, is going to be fine playing Indiana and then Ohio State on the road, but I believe they're the best team in the Big Ten this year, and I think that'll show up that day.
Mm-hmm.
Notre Dame with a suddenly really tough path now with scrappy Syracuse Saturday in Yankee Stadium, in the cold. Who knows how that's going to look? And then USC, I have no idea what kind of USC team will show up. Clay Helton is on the hot seat. There's no question about that. If they're losing to Cal, but it's at, on Saturday at night in the Coliseum in a rivalry game. We'll see which way that goes. And then Clemson has what? South Carolina left. And I'm trying to remember the other team they have left. They're in pretty good shape.
Mm-hmm.
To get the unbeaten. So I Right now, I'm sticking with chalk. I think they'll all make it through.
You're feeling the same way I do about Syracuse for whatever reason. I think they'll get ready for USC, even with one of the questions about Helton. I think you're right about that. But, man, Dino Babers has them going over there at Cuse.
He does, and we've seen that all year. We saw it this week against Louisville, where Louisville's just quit. I don't feel bad saying that. They fired Bobby Petrino. I don't think he was really interested in coaching them. I don't think they're interested in playing for him, for whatever the reason.
Mm-hmm.
But Syracuse now is developing in his third year, I think, at Syracuse, and he's done a heck of a job. I counted it up today. He's had six seasons as a head coach, something like that, six or seven, three different spots. 17 times his teams have gone over 50 points. So they did again this week. And I think that's five times they've done it this season. So watch out for them. With Eric Dungy, we know they can move the ball. The question with Notre Dame is the health of Ian Book, but Brian Kelly has already said he's good to go. He had some rib and back issues last week, and Brandon Humphrey did fine against Florida State, but to have Ian Book back, I think, is huge in that game.
Dennis Dodd joining us on the show. By the way, Dino Babers is 57. I think a lot of people think he's like one of these like 41-year-old young guys. Does he stay maybe at a place like Syracuse, or does he maybe, if he's offered something big, does he take off even though he's pushing 60 now?
Yeah, I think if you're at Syracuse, there's definitely room to move up. It's not a traditional football power. It does have tradition.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not a traditional football power. If Louisville identifies you in the same conference and throws a lot of money at you, do you go there to kind of keep that tradition going? That as soon as Lamar Jackson left, they just fell off the map. You know, and he's a guy that could recruit and coach players like that. And I'm just throwing that out there as an example. There aren't going to be that many Power 5 jobs open this year. Obviously Maryland, but that's not even a lateral move for him. USC maybe could be open, and then Louisville, and then maybe Kansas State, as we were talking about off the air. So, yeah, I think at age 57, I think he's got one more move left in him.
Dennis Dodd with us on the show. Okay, what if, and I agree with you about Michigan, even on the road,
mm-hmm.
What if Michigan loses? Would they leave out a Big Ten team again, say if Ohio State went on to the Big Ten championship and beat Northwestern?
Yeah, I think that's the worst case scenario for the Big Ten is for the Ohio State to win the league, because you're sitting there, whatever teams you're being compared against, and there will be a comparison. It won't be like, oh, Ohio State just moves right in if they beat Michigan. That one loss is like a wart on the end of their nose, because it looks mm-hmm. a lot like the Iowa game last year.
Oh, yeah.
By 29, for a team now that has since backed up that win by going 1-2, was in 5-5, talking about Purdue, and in danger of not being a bowl team. Even though Jeff Brom is the number one quarterback at Louisville for obvious reasons, that's going to weigh heavily, I think, on the selection committee's mind. When you're being compared against a Notre Dame that doesn't have the 13th data point, a Clemson that's unbeaten. Maybe in Oklahoma you'd be compared to, if Georgia wins that game and Alabama. That's going to be a race that Ohio State doesn't win in too many instances. So in terms of the Big Ten, that's probably their worst outcome right now, because Michigan is clearly the best team and has the best resume.
Eddie George was on SiriusXM. He said that he senses dysfunction at Ohio State.
Yeah.
There's a lot of former Buckeyes who kind of say the same thing. You just said, yeah, you agree.
I do. I don't think, and I've said this many times on the air, I don't think Urban Meyer will be the coach next year. I don't know why. I don't know what that looks like, but all the signs are there. It's just the team is not as sharp as it was for whatever reason. He's obviously had these headaches again, and now put the news out there that he had brain surgery in 2014, has been bothered by this cyst on his brain. I think some of that is to save recruiting. So people are going to start innuendos about him trying to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this could be a distraction for that he indeed wants to leave, that they're tired of him. Maybe he's tired of them, because he still hasn't given any, I don't think he still believes that Courtney Smith is credible and anything she said. And I think he resents being suspended for 3 games. So there's some animosity there between him and the administration. Maybe it's just time to cut ties, take 2019 off, and come back somewhere else 2020. But even though they're like a top 10 team and playing well, it just doesn't look like that marriage is going very well right now.
Yeah, it's just, man, everything seems to be off. And a lot of these former guys, they go, you know, they don't have the same type of passion that they did. Well,
yeah.
it is a difference. I mean, you know, Dennis, it's a factory now. In places like Ohio State, Clemson plays with passion. Alabama, they seem to always keep an edge. But it's very, very difficult because you're telling a 17-year-old right to his face, you're here to go to the next level. It's not like that in a lot of other places.
Yeah, no, that's right. And if you're at Ohio State, and, you know, you almost lost your job because I think a lot of us thought in August that, you know, he was culpable in enabling this receivers coach, Zach Smith, who, by the way, has erupted tonight on Twitter. I would not urge people to go look at that. That's horrible. But he enabled this guy at the very least for years. He was a bad guy that did bad things. And he comes back, and boy, it was running perfectly. If you remember, after game 3, where they handled TCU pretty well at the Jerry Dome, and from then on, it just didn't look like it was the same. To me, they're a one-trick pony team. Even though they beat Michigan State Saturday 26-6, and Michigan State could play from here to next Thursday and not score 2 touchdowns. But all they have really going for them is a gunslinger quarterback who's very, very good. They don't run the ball particularly well. For whatever reason, the defense has holes, and that's their best chance of winning. Now, they might do it, but it just doesn't look like the whole program is in sync.
Dennis Dodd joining us on the show. So you mentioned Clay Helton. Louisville's going to be open. A couple of other places might be open. Do you think that there's somebody else who might be on the hot seat that we should keep an eye out for?
Larry Fedora at North Carolina, I would expect that to come down any day now. 1-8, I think, after losing to Duke. I believe it's 1-8. That's virtually going to happen. That's the buyout. I don't think they'll blink at the $12 million buyout. Yeah. And they'll go look at someone else. K-State, I mentioned. Kansas is open on the lower end of Power 5. I think Kansas State's an interesting one for somebody who wants to get in there for a program that's desperate to win again and has spent money to try to keep it in, at least the look of a Power 5 and throw money into it. We know it isn't impossible because Bill Snyder's done the impossible, but it's a day-to-day proposition there for a program that lives on the brink, because I've thought about this for a long time. I think it's the most isolated FBS program there is, maybe Pullman, but Manhattan, Kansas is 120 miles from any major metropolitan area, Kansas City, literally in the middle of Kansas. You know, you've got to want to go there to visit. It's not like you can just bump into it. So it's going to have to take a special person if Bill Snyder, in fact, does leave.
Well, what's it going to take to get – I just look at what Mark Mangino did at Kansas, and I think it's absolutely remarkable. How do they even return to somewhere near that level of competition?
Well, I think they can. The ask, Ken, is only to go to 6-6 and get to a bowl. I think they can do that. But I'm the same guy who said they thought, you know, I thought Charlie Weiss could do it. I was wrong. That was a retirement job. His heart wasn't in it. You know, I think a guy like Les Miles, even though he turned 65 yesterday, would give it unprecedented attention, bring energy, recruiting. I think he would win. He's already said he changed to the spread. If anybody's worried about him running the same offense, he did it at LSU, and I think he'd be invested because he's not, if not him, then whoever they get is going to be out of there in 4 years. Because if you lose, you're going to get fired. If you win, you're going to take the next step up. You know, you're not going to stay there for 10 years. You're not going to stay there for 5 years. You might stay 3. Mm-hmm. It's so, so hard. And the program's in such bad shape that, you know, it's going to be a revolving door again. So Les Miles as a bridge coach at Kansas is not the worst thing in the world.
Tua got the Heisman all wrapped up?
I think so. I think it would take Alabama maybe losing a game. Tua's played at a high level. Now, he got taken out Saturday, you know, against Mississippi State. He was dinged up a little bit, but his numbers are just incredible. Kyler Murray has done almost as well at Oklahoma and almost has to do that every week for them to win, as we've seen. But I think Tua with a guy. He's college's version of Patrick Mahomes at the Chiefs right now. Just kind of this fire starter, this cult of personality guy who can just chuck it and can run it pretty well too, by the way. He's got the best weapons, maybe the best set of receivers I think Alabama's ever had, and the best offense they've ever had. And to this point, after pitching two shutouts in a row, maybe one of the best teams that Alabama's ever had.
Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports national college football writer. Follow him on Twitter, at Dennis Dodd CBS. You know the pleasure's all mine. You know I love it. I thank you so much for the time, Dennis. All the very best, and hope to run you down again soon.
All right, Ken. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Dennis Dodd joining us on the show. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, by the way, 855-212-4CBS, is brought to you by Geico. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. The biggest trap, I think, for Notre Dame is coming up this weekend. I don't think there are any traps for Alabama. And I just have to keep telling myself, it's about who is best. It's not about who deserves it. Because when you lose should matter. But when it comes down to deserving, and when it comes down to who's best, I think a lot of us would know. Anybody who goes in there against Alabama, with the exception, I think Clemson would give them a really good game. I don't know how great Notre Dame would fare. I think Notre Dame right now on a neutral site field, I think Notre Dame would lose to Michigan. I think Michigan and Notre Dame would get chewed up by them. And this right now, if you really want to make the argument, this is your best argument for six. The problem is that you can't have 16 games altogether. Because right now you're playing 13, 14, 15 games if you're a national champion. You play 16, that's as many as the big boys, then all of a sudden the NCAA gives you real fuel to start talking about paying players. And the NCAA would rather give you every one of their firstborn. Mark Emmert would rather give you his firstborn grandchild than ever have to actually pay a player. Six is the closest thing you can do it. But when you start talking about the 8-team thing and the 16-team thing, and you give me, well, D2 does it, FCS does it. Yeah, they do it. It's also a little bit easier because they don't play as many games in the regular season, and they don't have the great big contracts. While they reap the rewards of the great big contracts when they go on the road and they play the big-time Power 5 teams and usually lose, even though it's been a little bit different as of late, but they usually are supposed to lose those games, and then that finances not just their football program, but a lot of other things for their school. So you got to put the economics into it as well. But this year, it might give you the best argument because there's going to be some teams clamoring. There's going to be some really good teams that are left out of this thing. But Alabama's still going to be Alabama. I still wanted to lose just for the chaos. Coming up next, Michael Lee from The Athletic. Can Jimmy Butler put the 76ers over the top?
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.